Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your wisdom to your people in these days. We're very close to massive judgments, and I'm asking that everyone give meditation on these things, and especially the verses that show us the way of salvation from them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to call this Saved from Judgments. And please pay close attention. I'm going to share some older prophecies with you about the judgments that God is sending on the rebellious apostates and the whole land, actually. We often receive scriptures in our morning prayer meetings of these warnings. I'm going to start with judgment on America and its ministries. This is an article by Shirley Hinkle, 2007. Thank you for your website. It has been a wealth of insight and revelation into the Word of God for me and my friends with whom I share your sight. I have never shared these or other dreams that I have had in the past with any website / ministry, but only with five close friends. One of the prayer warriors in our church, whom I shared the dreams with this last week, said, "You must send it to Brother David Eels." You see, I was in prayer Sunday morning, and God spoke to my heart and said, "Remember the dreams of the five judgments. It's now. It's not only the false, sinful church leadership that is under judgment, but judgment on this nation, America, that you are seeing fulfilled." Well, in the dreams that I'm going to share, God used individuals to represent this apostate leadership, and these judgments on them will also judge America. And this is a judgment on the secular and religious harlot of our day. And God is now raising up a new leadership with power. Because of the nature of the dreams, she said, I took out the name of the pastor and the people associated with the church where we went for 5 years. Well, Shirley is as typed as a prophetess in this revelation and the true church in some of these dreams. Okay, dream first of five judgments. This was in 2005. And the reason dreams come ahead of time is so that more people can partake of the warning. So I dreamed that our former pastor walked into the room where a group of us were standing. And I wondered to myself, what is he doing here? I thought, maybe we are to pray for him. So I walked over to him and laid my hand on his head. And I said to him, "You are full of lust and pornography." Well, I once saw the statistics on how many ministers were into this, and I was just shocked. She went on to say, as I said these words, his head turned to mush under my hand. A mind corrupted by sin, I think, is symbolized here. I pulled my hand back, revolted, and I turned to walk away. And as I did, he leered and sneered at me. I started to wake up, and that is when I saw he was a shell of a man full of demonic spirits. I believe this represents a generation of apostates, meaning backslidden ministers, as in the rest of the dreams. God spoke into my heart and said, Romans chapter 1 and chapter 3. as we stole from my people, as he stole from my people, I am taking his mind from him. He is given over to those spirits. And I would say here's an update since then, and this has been happening, okay? This is the first of five judgments, she said, that I have shown to you. Okay, this is a dream. Judgment number two of five, 2005. All of these people were in booths at a restaurant. Well, churches where spiritual food, as in the Word, is supposed to be fed. I walked in, and it was the congregation of a former church. I began to go from table to table under the anointing and exposing all of the lies of the teachings and the sins in the lives of the people. Some people looked at me like, "What are you doing?" They had no comprehension at all. Others said, "Yes, we see it." And then others were getting very mad, angry at me for telling and exposing all the lies. I looked behind me, and there were three of the prayer warriors who had left the church at the same time as one person. And they were represented as who they are in real life. I raised my right arm to heaven and began to pray in the spirit with a loud voice and with authority. Then, as I was walking out, I turned to the people and said, "The associate pastor was never supposed to leave his wife for the other woman. He played the harlot. He sold his body to prostitution. He left her." Well, that's another common problem among apostate pastors and others. And then the next scene in my dream, my husband and I were walking down a hallway away from the restaurant. In other words, away from their teachings. We could hear the former pastor from the other side yelling. We knew he was mad at me for exposing him. He was yelling really loud as he came around the corner. But the weird thing was, he was walking on his knees. His legs were twisted up behind him, and he was being led by his head usher. In other words, spiritually, he is crippled and unable to walk with the Lord. She said, "For a split second, I felt pity for this man who was all disfigured, and then I saw his face as he was yelling. My husband and I just stood there quietly watching at first, and this pastor was so mad and yelling so loudly, his hair was all matted and snarled, with his face all contorted." Well, you know, hair being matted, hair represents in 1 Corinthians 11 your submission to the Lord. And it doesn't seem that he has any. Then all of a sudden, I looked at him and said, "Everything you have stolen from my people," by the way, which is their walk with the Lord, "I have taken from you. Judgment has come to your house." I then brought my right hand down like a gavel was in it, and this pastor was nothing but blackness and darkness. This was judgment number two of five that God had shown me. Another dream, judgment three and four of five. 2005. I dreamed last night of a lady, I believe this represents the true church, in a church with a lot of people she knew, and some of them walked up to her and asked if she would like to go on a road trip with them, and she said yes and got in the car. and as the others were getting in, they were snickering and laughing behind her back, mocking her. Well, when they got down the road, they took out a needle and injected it into the woman. And I believe this symbolizes being filled with false doctrine. To alter her mind, they took her to a house, I believe it's an apostate church, and it was full of children of God. The woman was then tormented in many ways. She kept trying to hide the children in different parts of the house so that they would not be harmed. In other words, trying to save them from the false doctrine. She knew that the ultimate goal of these people was to kill her and the children. And this is speaking spiritually, of course, because you can die in those churches. And after they had their fun and sport with her, a man walked into the house. The woman went up to him and said, "We have to save the children. These people are going to kill us." He just started laughing at her. It was then that she knew that he was one of them. She then hid the children in different parts of the house again. Now, instead of me seeing this lady, I am her. In other words, the true church. And I am walking down the hallway, and I come to an elderly woman. And I believe this represents the apostate church showing signs of years under the curse. Because you know the old dead religions, they are dead, and they don't offer much life at all. And I say to her with a loud voice, "The Lord says unto you, you are now forever separated from the presence of God. You will no longer experience the presence of God." And my right hand came down like a gavel, and I said, "This is the judgment of God on you." Well, a little update here. These churches are dead now, and everybody knows it. A lot of the younger people are moving on because mom and dad's church is just not edifying them anymore. So she turned from me and walked away and then turned to come back. And I saw it was the pastor's sister-in-law. She was like a mad woman, all crazy. I turned and walked away from her. And as I did, I said, "Lord, what was that all about?" And he spoke to me and he said, "That is the church that holds the truth in unrighteousness." Okay, that's truth that they refuse to walk in. Okay, and turns my grace into lasciviousness, which is a license to sin. As I am walking away, I come to a young lady who is not one of the children because they are hidden in different parts of the house. And I say to her, "The Lord says unto you, I will never again look upon you with favor or content. You will toil and labor hard all the rest of your days." This is the curse in Genesis 3 and 19. And she went on to say, "This is the judgment unto you. My right hand then came down like a gavel. And as the girl turned to walk away from me, I saw it was a teenager in the congregation, the daughter of the church secretary. And as I was waking up, from this dream, the Lord spoke into my heart. This is the judgment, number 3 and 4, of the 5 that I showed you." And I asked the Lord, "What did the teenager represent?" And he quickly answered, "Rebellion, the rebellious ones." Kind of comes along with teenagers, right? So the lady in the beginning is the true church. And the enemy is trying to steal the mind of God's people by altering their thinking and doping them with falsehoods that usually please the flesh, right? They are laughing and mocking and the true church of the living God. The children represent innocent that God has hidden under his wings until the storm passes by. Can he hide them in such a place? Well, yes, he can. God has hidden some innocence in the apostate church, which he will deliver. Isaiah 26 and 20 says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee." Sounds like your prayer closet, doesn't it? "Hide thyself from a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." Okay, this is dream judgment number 5 of 5 in 2005. I dreamt last night that we were at our former church. They were having a camp meeting. I was volunteering in the kitchen where the spiritual food of teaching is prepared, right? And the pastor's wife, I believe representing the apostate church, walked up to me and said that someone was very mad at me for being here. She said, "You are not supposed to be here." I said that all I was trying to do was to help. She never said to stay or even tried to defend me. And as I was sitting there, a woman walked up to the pastor's wife, and I believe this represents the apostate church, and said to her, "It's beginning to rain. You are a flower that will die. Where your petals fall, there they will lie." In other words, speaking of a great falling away. She said, "My friends who were standing with me started weeping, went over and hugged her goodbye. I stayed watching and weeping. I tried to warn, to explain, but there was nothing to say. The pastor's wife looked at me with sadness and a knowing. And I said to her, all I know is that I love God with all of my heart, and I know you do too. She then began to weep. Well, let me say, the church who loves God in their born-again spirit, but does not love him enough to obey so that their soul is born again, that is born again, will die. In Romans 8 and 13, "For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." In John 14 and 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." 1 Peter 1 and 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again," or born again, same word, "not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass." There's that flower. "The grass withereth, and the flower falleth." I don't know if you've ever noticed this about people over a period of time, but it does. It's the flesh. It's not eternal, right? "Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God," the Bible says. So therefore, the spirit man is the only one that's going there. Verse 25, "But the word of the Lord abideth forever. As was said in the prophetic poem, the flower, a symbol of all that is beautiful about the flesh, will fall. and what people think is beautiful about their fleshly religion will die too. And as we were leaving and driving away from the church, it began to rain on both sides of the road. The flowers were dead, and the animals too. And I looked at my husband and started weeping so hard. Well, the grace of life will be taken away from the apostate church in their idolatry with the flesh. She went on to say, "He said to me, 'My brother,'" representing the apostate church, "'is dying, so it must still be before February.' I said, 'I know.' My husband's brother had died the year before in February from bladder cancer. And this is judgment number 5. The first 5 judgment dreams on apostate ministries are coming to pass now. And as the Lord said, it's now, and this was said in 2005, the apostate ministries are losing their minds and walking as cripples more every day because this is what they have done to God's people. And since history or his story always repeats, very soon this will be spoken of them as it was of them, of their forefathers. Matthew 13 and 10 says this, "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speakest thou unto them in parables?' And he answered and said unto them, 'Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand." And this is true if you go into any of these dead churches, you see that they are just, all they know is a little bit of the letter, and they're not really interested in that. The Spirit is not speaking to them and interpreting to them the wonderful things that are hidden in Scriptures, and so on. And on with verse 14, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, 'By hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them.'" Well, as in Jesus' day, these same ones will persecute the true church of the called out ones, which is what the Greek word for church means. They won't come out. That's the problem. And here are a few more dreams that Shirley sent us. This is a dream in 2007 called Baby Boy, First Tribulation Judgment. "I walked into a church filled with people, and I recognized people from our former church, all standing around, talking, and carrying on with their programs. And as I walked down the hall, I saw a small baby boy in the trash. I picked him up and said, 'You don't belong here in the trash.'" This shows the apostate church's disregard for the fruit of Christ revealed in the man-child body in their midst. It also represents their hatred for the first fruits man-child ministry, Revelation 12:5 and 6. that is to lead this church into that fruit, just as their forefathers did in Jesus' day. As I was taking him out of the trash, the pastor's wife was there and was so mad at me. She said to me, "You think you are going to get away with this? You're going to pay." Well, obviously they hate those who value the fruit of Christ, just as they did in the book of Acts. And those who come out from among them will take the fruit of Christ with them. I took him outside the church and walked over to my husband to show him the baby. The baby was playing and cooing in my arms, and I was so upset that he had been thrown away like that, discarded in the trash. And I was playing with the baby and taking care of him and loving on him, and my husband said, quote, "You have to take him back," unquote. I said it wasn't right that they put him in the trash, but my husband said he has to go back. Let me say, those who love the fruit will see him in their lives. Like the Shulamite bride in Song of Solomon, they will take him back to their mother church. Song of Solomon 3:3. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" It was but a little that I passed from them when I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house. That is our mother church's house. And into the chamber of her that conceived me. So, of course, many people have tried this and been limited in their success to a few, usually. And then they come out and go on. So she went on. She said, "As I was walking back to the church, I had to cross a street. The cars were flying past me on both sides, and I was in the middle of the intersection and was almost getting run over by each car that passed." Well, I would say those on the broad road will not appreciate the greatness in their midst. I held the baby close and kept trying to get across as I walked back into the church to take the baby back. I was so sad. Nobody saw me or acknowledged that the baby had been returned and saved from the trash. They continued with their programs, and they were all doing it. So, the return of the man-child or his fruit in the bride's heart will not be appreciated by most when he returns to give a witness to them as Jesus did. And this will be the first judgment of the tribulation in Revelation 6:1-2. The white horse rider, which brings all of the other riders upon the earth, this will be as when Moses came to set Israel free from bondage to their Egyptians. He brought all the judgments to accomplish this. Josh and the baby boy represent both the fruit of Christ in their midst, and that they have rejected, and the first fruits man-child ministry, who is to lead them through the wilderness tribulation as a repeat of history in our day. And as the Lord said, this is a judgment on this nation, America, for the apostate church has not represented Christ to them in being the salt needed to preserve them. And this false church is leading America to destruction. And this is a dream from 2007, America's Judgment. I walked into a large convention center full of young people. They were in groups all over the building. Some were standing and talking, and others were bowed in groups in prayer. God spoke to my heart and said that His Holy Spirit is searching the heart of America. His Holy Spirit is going throughout this nation searching out those who are seeking His face in this time of turmoil, searching this generation, for it is the last generation, and it shall not pass until we see the fulfillment of His word. As I walked among them, I could hear them talking to each other and saying, "What do you think? Who will you vote for?" And others were giving their opinion on the matters of our world. God then spoke to me and said that they are going by human reasoning. They are not looking to me, the author and finisher of their faith. They are searching out man's ways and not my ways. And as I was walking among them, Hillary Clinton walked into the building and started walking among them also. God spoke into my heart and said, "This is Romans 1 being fulfilled in your sight. This is the first judgment coming into being on this nation in its fullness. This nation is being given over." So God showed me that Clinton also was getting a feel of where they stood and what they were thinking and talking about. That we as a people in this nation are being marked, and we will be known for what we stand for in these final days. The ones who are weeping and mourning, standing in truth and righteousness, will be separated and marked as in Ezekiel chapter 9. I then walked up to her and said, "You will be put in office, but it will bring this country down." I knew that she represented in the spirit this nation's final apostasy against God in its fullness. Now here I'd like to say that this was a warning, as dreams and visions can be. And although she served herself in many offices, including the first political lady, and I'll give you a link of all the offices that she's been in that regard, the highest office was denied her because of urgent prayer for mercy. God was giving a warning. When people take the warning, He can give some mercy and some grace. Okay. So, abandonment of a previous loyalty, the woman, this nation, leaving her natural affection for God, her family, her children, given over to her lusts and vile affections. And that certainly happened. I then said, "This is our judgment." I said this very loudly and pleading, knowing we are in judgment. And I then said, "Tell America to repent." But she just looked past me like I wasn't there and hadn't said anything to her. She walked away with a smirk on her face. God spoke into my heart and said, quote, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Romans 1 and 32. Dream 10:1-2007. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, our judgment has come. My husband and I were standing by the riverbank, and it was flowing over the top like a waterfall. So pretty. I knew that it was America in her false sense of security and prosperity, everything flowing along so smoothly, but it was overflowing. I said with a loud voice, "It's getting ready to overflow." Well, the U.S. Leaving her God-given natural boundaries, I believe, is being represented here. Like never before, and bringing destruction, it will destroy everything. In Jeremiah 25, Babylon, which is called the Great Eagle, like the U.S., right? In Ezekiel 17, brought the cup of wrath to all nations, and then they brought it to her. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says, right? And after the man-child is anointed, and it's, by the way, this nation has been invaded by Antichrist, if you know what I mean. After the man-child is anointed in Revelation 6:2, comes world war. Revelation 6:4, and another horse came forth, a red horse, and to him that sat thereon it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. She went on to say, everything that the people have put their trust in one moment, it is going to be completely swept away before their eyes. God said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. I turned to my right and said, blow the trumpet. My husband then picked up a trumpet and put it in his mouth and started to blow. Let me say something about a trumpet. A trumpet represents turning breath into what can be heard. Okay, breath and spirit is the same word in Hebrew, right? So it's letting the people know the truth. God is asking the men of God to once again put the trumpet to their mouths and blow. Sound the alarm. Proclaim the truth. To warn the people to get their eyes off of this world and all that it holds for it. That is peace, security, and prosperity. It's all getting ready to be taken from them. God then said again, warn the people. It will destroy everything. Blow the trumpet. Again, I turned to my right and said, blow the trumpet. Warn the people. My husband continued to blow the trumpet. God spoke to my heart and said, don't stop warning. Don't stop telling. Don't stop. People were walking around like nothing was going to happen. Some were getting very angry with me for yelling in a loud voice, and I recognized some of the people. My husband continued to blow the trumpet. Again, God spoke to my heart. Even if the people whom you know don't like it and get angry with you, you must never stop blowing the trumpet. You must always proclaim truth, no matter what happens. Unquote. I then knew that this was the fulfillment of the judgment that God had told me. He spoke to me and said, a nation that forgets God is given over, and this is the judgment. Deuteronomy 28. By the way, that is the curse on the rebellious. The whole list of them. Okay. Your houses, your land, your children, your possessions, your freedom, your very lives will be taken from you in judgment. Unquote. And we call this one a flood of judgment. GC 2008. I had one of the most vivid and real dreams in recent memory. In this dream, I was told by God that a great flood would destroy the world. He told me this before it even happened. And he's talking about a flood of judgment, not a flood of water, because we know that's not going to happen. but it will happen in various places. Okay. So as the days went by after I had received this message, water started covering the earth. The source of the water did not seem to be rainwater, but come from the ground. I recall that in the flood account of Noah, some of the water came from the fountains of the deep. And this is what was happening in my dream. It seemed like for weeks the water covered the world, and after each passing day, the people had to abandon homes and buildings and move towards higher ground. Well, what did the water represent in the flood? It represented death to the wicked. Okay, so keep that in mind. This is a flood of judgment, not necessarily of water. I was just in awe of what was happening and tried my best to warn the people that this was God's judgment and that they needed to repent to be saved. I recall that I was never scared or frightened because of the fact that I had been warned before this started to happen, which gave me some comfort. I spent the last days pleading with people about repentance, but very few took heed. The last thing I remember is that I was at one of the highest points of the land, and the water kept rising. I woke up before I could find out the outcome of the dream. I know that another great flood will not occur, but I do feel this was symbolic. Yes, I will say spiritually, a flood of judgment will cover the earth. It will come out of the earth from hell, which is out of the earth, right? The demons will administer the legal curse of the waters of the word on the unrepentant. In the natural, we have seen mass flooding, fires, hurricanes, large earthquakes all around the world, and some man-made and so on. And the tribulation hasn't even arrived yet. We call this one Refuge from Judgment. Sister R. from California, 2010. I was outside. I am not sure of the place. I looked up at the heavens and noticed that suddenly the clouds turned dark. They were storm clouds. I believe this speaks of observing coming bad events from heaven. Judgments, tribulations, and trials are near, and we can see them coming. And then one opened up, and the water gushed out as if someone had poured a bucket of water out of it. In other words, sudden destruction from heaven, whether through man or nature. Right. Then suddenly the clouds of this water turned into this huge tidal wave. In other words, a huge destructive events from heaven. And I realized that I could not outrun it. So I ran into this building that I believe it was a hotel. Well, by our own strength, we cannot escape. The hotel is the house of God. As with a hotel, we are individual buildings that are builded together, quote unquote, to make up one building, his house, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, symbolizing revival. Many people find their way into the kingdom as a refuge, an ark from the wave, which represents the judgment on this world. 1 Corinthians 4:11, even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. I was with a group of people and we all went to the upper floors of the building, a spiritual place of safety in heavenly places in Christ, as the scripture speaks, right? Psalm 94 and 22, "But the Lord hath been my high tower, and my God the rock of my refuge." So we've got to get to the high places in God, right? The water came into the building, and we had to go to higher floors for safety. Waters of judgment will drive God's people higher in the refuge of Christ, as Psalm 91 shows. At one point, the water flooded onto the same floor where I was with this group of people. Well, we will see and share the experiences and overcome through faith, and people will be saved, okay? I thought I was going to die, but I had peace because I knew that I was going to be with the Lord. Well, trusting the Lord with life and death is what I believe is being signified here. Job 13 and 15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." But the floor we were on, the side of this building where we were, had an elevator and a place where we could reach safety. In other words, go higher, right? The elevator is the rest. You don't go upstairs. That's not a rest. You get pooped out when you get to the top, right? But an elevator is a place of rest. And we enter into rest through faith, the scripture says, right? You don't have to attempt to save yourselves by your own works. Just get closer to God by grace through faith in Him. When the floods came into this floor, not only could I see this elevator, but there was higher ground on this floor where we could step up to reach safety. Well, praise the Lord. He provides a place of refuge every step of the way, as in Psalm 91. And it's always higher and higher in God, right? Closer to heaven, right? We had working cell phones and light in the hotel. One person I don't know who received a phone call. Well, we have the ability to pray and abide in the light of the scriptures. Working, quote unquote, cell phones mean effective communication with each other and the Lord. I thought it was strange that we always had light, because normally, if that situation had really happened, the electricity would go out. Well, just remember that there was light in Goshen. God had separated his people from the Egyptians, representing the worldly. And there was light in Goshen when the rest of Egypt had none. The Lord will not withdraw his light or power in judgment situations. Do not fear. No matter what form it takes, the Lord will give great assurance. And during the entire dream, I had peace, she said. Okay, we call this one impending judgment on America. And this is from a prophet friend in East Florida. And I don't doubt that some of these judgments below can be lessened or done away with. Usually that's the way it is. God shows mercy even in the midst of judgment, right? This was vision one. The Lord took me to the streets of America, and I saw the cities on fire. We have many millions of Muslims in America, and when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, which is not a holy land, and when America gets involved, they will burn America to the ground. I saw Muslim women carrying into America, and in their inner body parts, vials of anthrax and biological chemicals. And I saw 180 million Americans die in a 72-hour period. And then I saw New York, Florida, Nevada, Texas, and California nuked. We will be invaded. Russia and China will do it. Well, let me say from other dreams, I believe this will be close to the end of the tribulation. From famous visions and dreams, such as Washington's vision and Dimitri Dudeman's visions and A.A. Allen's visions on our site, we know that the righteous will overcome and have victory, even through all of that. Vision number two, the Lord took me in the spirit to outer space, and I saw very dim stars. Then the lights came on, and I saw a huge asteroid, brown in color, coming to planet Earth, the asteroid turning over and over like tumbling. Well, of course, I believe this will happen, and I believe it is coming. Vision number three, the Lord took me in the spirit, and I drove down the east coast of Florida and up the west coast. And when I was in Orlando, Florida, the Lord cut Florida in half. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And he said, no more mercy. And the second time I said, Lord, have mercy. And he said, no more mercy. And I asked the Lord why he is doing this. And he said, death of the innocents, quote unquote. I saw from Kissimmee, Florida, to Miami underwater. Then the Lord showed me portable buildings stacked like a train, all connected together. The buildings were full of people with legs and arms missing. I ran into the buildings, and there was no end of the buildings. In other words, a massive death in Florida. The water will come up on the leg of Florida, I've heard in quite a few dreams, and cover it. Vision 4. I saw an asteroid race right by Florida and go north. What a horrible sound, and it hit us. Then I saw helicopters with men carrying guns, and when they came to me, I disappeared. Later, I was somewhere else, and I put out my hand, and an apple was there, and I ate it. So the Lord will take care of His true servants, and we shouldn't worry. Amen. I agree with him. Vision number 5. I was in a red suit and riding in a red car. Something was holding me from passing and going to the sea. Well, I believe this covered in red blood, we are protected from the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues representing the sea, according to Revelation. So this everything being red, I believe it means covered in the blood of Jesus. Then they moved away, and I got to see the sea. I dropped my cell phone, and I went into the sea and entered a building that was very strong and safe. I believe this represents spiritual Mount Zion, which is a place of safety in the midst of tribulation. And here's his interpretation. He said, I have a great call on my life, Isaiah 63, 64, and 65. Red is the blood of Christ and power. The seas are the people for the harvest. The building is Christ, and the cell phone is a connection to this world. We are to be led by the Spirit and hearing God's voice, and not to be sold out to the world. God's kingdom is not of this world. I died 17 years ago, that's from the time he had this revelation, when I received the Holy Ghost, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. We must all go that way, and we will do exploits for the end-time harvest. Jesus said that we will do greater things than he, because he will send the Holy Spirit. Mark 16 and 17. Be one of them that give God all the glory. Well, amen to that. So, with all these judgments the Lord is bringing, we can have complete peace, rest, protection, and his provision as we believe and confess the gospel. The real free gospel, I want to tell you about it. God cannot fail, but we can hinder his works with our own works. And Jesus told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Matthew 16 and 6. They understood this to mean their teachings, like in verse 12. Their teaching that was so dangerous was salvation by self-works. Galatians 2 and 16 and 5, 1 through 6. In explaining this in Matthew 16, 9 and 10, Jesus said, do you not perceive, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Notice in this point that he's making here, notice that the more loaves they provided of their own supply, the fewer were fed, and there were less baskets left over. So Jesus' obvious point was that the more you work, the less God works. Your faith must be in him and his finished work. Salvation in any form is by grace, which is unmerited or unearned. For by grace have you been saved, notice, been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The word saved here is translated from the Greek word sozo, and it is used in Luke 7 and 50 for the saving of the soul. In Luke 8 and 48, it is translated, made thee whole for healing of the body. And in Luke 8 and 36, it is translated, made whole for deliverance from demons. In Matthew 8 and 25, it is translated, save for protection from danger. You see, saved covers every curse. And it is not of our works. Jesus, quote, became a curse for us, unquote, so that we might have the blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. The all-inclusive curse in Deuteronomy 28 was put upon him. And I remind you that Ephesians 2 and 8 says in the original Greek, by grace have ye been saved. It's already accomplished. It's happened. It happened at the cross. The wilderness is a complete, safe, and secure place for the believer because everything has already been provided there. Our faith in the promises is the very substance that the desired need is made from. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the assurance, or substance, of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So your substance is your faith. You hold on to the faith of the promises of God. That will be your substance. The reason Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received, it's past tense in the original, believe that you received them and you shall have them. That's Mark 11 and 24. And it's because all of our provision was accomplished at the cross. That's why it was received. They didn't understand that, so they left the D off. We'll notice in the following verses that all things have been received and that the only thing left is for us to believe it. And also notice that the past tense of our sacrificial provision in the following verses, Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace have ye been saved, notice, through faith. And 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self bear our sins in his body. Notice it's past tense. By whose stripes we were healed. Colossians 1 and 13. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness. Notice past tense again. Translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. Who reconciled us to himself. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified. Notice all of this is past tense. It all happened in Christ, and we just receive it by faith. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse. 1 Peter 1 and 3. And it says, basically, the Father begat us again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and 10. We have been sanctified. And verse 14, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Ephesians 1 and 3. Who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And God, in 2 Peter 1 and 3, says, hath granted unto us all things. Jesus told us in his day, which of course was accomplished in the past, that, quote, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, unquote. John 12 and 31. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Past tense again, quote unquote, John 16 and 33. It is finished, quote unquote, John 19 and 30. This is why we are to believe we have received. The devil and the curse were conquered. We were saved, healed, delivered, and provided for. That is why Paul said, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 19. Redemption from the curse and provision for life are truly accomplished at the cross. In fact, God's works were finished from the foundation of the world, quote unquote, Hebrews 4 and 3. When he spoke the plan into existence is when it happened in his mind. The only thing left is for the true sons of God to enter into those works by faith, believing that they have received. Since the works are finished, we should believe and rest from our own works to save, heal, provide, and deliver ourselves. This is rest. In the wilderness, it's the elevator that goes to the next floor, right? And it's on the grounds of God's promises. Hebrews 4 and 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. When you believe those promises are already done and accomplished, that's when you can rest, right? So that is a spiritual Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4 and 9 says, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest. The Greek word there is the only one like it in the New Testament, and it's sabbatismos, and it means keeping of rest. It's not talking about a day. It's talking about you resting every day in the promises of God. For the people of God, he says, there remaineth this sabbatismos for the people of God. So this constant keeping of rest every day through the past tense promises is our New Testament spiritual Sabbath. For he that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And this rest is to believe these past tense promises. Hebrews 4 and 1, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. In other words, you need to enter into this rest. It's the faith of those promises that's going to bring you through the terrible times to come. Verse 2, for indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. And also I'm going to give you a link here to a warning of soon coming judgment. So I hope this has blessed you, and I hope that you will maybe even study it again, slower, so that you can get everything out of it, right? God bless you and keep you, and the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.